This morning we're going to be looking into the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, which is one of the Gospels that tells us about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to be looking in chapter 1, though, which tells us about Zechariah's prophecy of a son who was born in a timely time. Along with Lord Jesus Christ and Zacharias' son, which was to be John the Baptist, was to be the forerunner. And when you look at the scriptures, and we, as these chapters unveil and give the revelations of the things that are to come, the prophecies in the Bible, already have been proved, they all already have happened and continue to happen as well. As revelations, as we read and stand in revelations, there are prophecies to be fulfilled in a timely time. So when we look at Luke chapter 1, verses 76 through 80, this is the second part of, it's a song of Zacharias, and as he was, it was revealed to him what was going to be taking place. He was excited about that, and he knew where that fulfillment was coming from. So follow along with me as I read from Luke again, chapter 1, beginning with verse 76. I don't have those up there on the screen, but you'll follow along with me in the Bible. I'll have those later on the screen. But in verse 76 of Zechariah's prophecy, he says, and the angel says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord." And Lord is capitalized, but also means Jesus. "Will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us." Verse 79, "To shine upon those who sit in the darkness and the shadow of the death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And then verse 80, "And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel." Now, I'll share more about that when I get that to verse 80 about living in the deserts. I shared some of parts of that on Wednesday with our study group, which was kind of fell in place for us to talk about even John the Baptist and Jesus as well. But we're talking about Jesus in our Bible studies, about his birth, his death, resurrection, and then the second coming, and we'll be looking into that this coming Wednesday. But as we look at this particular text this morning, going back to the first part of this song of Zacharias, the first part of Zacharias' song, he exalted for God's establishing his glorious covenant, starting with, and we can go all the way back in the Old Testament to Abraham, and then into the glorious fulfillment through the coming of Messiah, which Zacharias right here is talking about. And John the Baptist being the forerunner of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And then, as we sing hymns, this is a hymn. The hymn then blesses God for the Messiah and the unique deliverance his salvation will bring to all the people and throughout the world through Jesus' revelations. And then the part I just read, beginning with verse 76, talks about the second part of Zacharias' prophecy, and it continues blessing God for his covenant and for the work of preparation for the Messiah, which will be done through Zacharias' son. That would be John the Baptist. Now, the Messiah is declared. He is declared to be the Most High, as I read here in verse 76, blessed forevermore. You ought to read like Luke chapter 1, chapter 2, periodically, to be reminded of this great event, this great prophecy that did take place, and who comes bringing Messiah blessings. So he will be and bring the light of salvation to the people. And looking at your outline this morning, through Zacharias' prophecy, we want to see how those in darkness might find a path to peace with God. That's what Zacharias is talking about right here, and that's what is revealed and being prophesied today in our day and time as well. So as we look at this morning, the prophet of the Messiah, the first part of verse 76, all the way through 76 through 79, the song changes its form and becomes an address to a newly born child. So, Zacharias, or the angel was telling Zacharias that he will be a prophet and will prepare the way of the Lord. Now, this way of the Lord is also being drawn from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 40, and also Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, by assuring the people of their forgiveness of their sins. Just as you and I have been forgiven of our sins, it was being prophesied then and through the disciples that Jesus gave the commandment that you will go and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist had a big part of this in his preparation, preparing, and he spent, as the Bible said, much of his time in the desert. And why would someone being born go out to the desert and live and spend their time? Well, I'll share a little bit more about that later. But I want you to be thinking about that. Why would you seclude yourself away from everyone else, bear in mind that he was a special child, just like Jesus Christ. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he spent most of his life in the desert. Now, the second part of this, I want to go back to the first part, verse 76, which begins with the second major part of this hymn, honoring the miraculous birth of a child whom God has appointed to a service to proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that verse, the first part of 76 says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High." Did you notice that he was called child and not son? There's a reason for that. Zacharias calls his newborn child instead of son, as a child's relationship to himself is lost in the greater part of the one greater than either, and that would be Jesus Christ. So John is to be the Messiah's prophet, okay? The prophet of Jesus Christ. So he was chosen for a key role in informing prophecies of just not of that age, but all of the ages to come, and that would be included us today. So the Most High, as you see up there, here in verse 76, is a title only for a supreme God, the Most High. If you should study and read in Hebrews, it talks about the high priest, the Most High, and the ultimate. And always talking about the Son of God, the Most High. And the Most High, here in verse 76, is that title of the Supreme God. And that's why this term undeniably is linked to Jesus Christ. As Romans chapter 9, verse 5, acclaims says, "Who is over all God blessed forever." Over all, in all, through all, and forever. So, that's the first part of verse 76. Now, let's move on to the second part of 76 through 9, which is a proclamation of Jesus's or the Messiah's way, as he will be coming into the world. It's John the Baptist himself. And I mean, that's why we celebrate Christmas, because of the birth of Christ. But there's always that preparation, and this preparation came through the angel to Zacharias, that his son will be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason for John's calling a prophet is provided in the second part of this verse, 76, part B, I call it. And it says, "For you will go on before the Lord," which is talking about Jesus, "to prepare his ways." Now, why would someone need to prepare the way for Jesus? Why would any of us need to prepare the way for someone else or someone that you know is coming? Well, it's to build up that excitement, to prepare them for something great that was going to be taking place, the prophecy of the Bible to be fulfilled. They had heard about the coming Messiah back in the Old Testament. Now, it's getting closer to that fulfillment. And John the Baptist is coming forth, and he's proclaiming and preaching for the remission of sin for someone, which is Jesus Christ, that will be taking those sins away. And that's why when Jesus appeared and John was preaching, then he saw him and he stepped back and he said, "There he is right there. I must decrease so the Son of Man, Messiah, you've been praying for and I've been proclaiming about, he is here." So John is to announce the coming and arrival of the Lord Most High. Now, in verse 77, we'll look at it now. It says, which contains, and this is the aim, and this is the hope of John's prophecy in his ministry. And it says, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation. In a dark world, the darkness, a sin that had come into the world from way back, you know, at the very beginning of time. Now, Jesus Christ, being the ultimate Messiah, was going to deliver them. So he said, now you will have full knowledge of the salvation that has been proclaimed. And the verse continues, says, by the forgiveness of their sins. Now, think about this just for a moment. Salvation involves knowledge. That's why the Bible gives us so many scriptures about the knowledge of salvation through the Roman road, through Ephesians, through Galatians, through the Old Testament, through Isaiah. gives us all the knowledge that we know how that we can know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So first of all, we have to have knowledge. And then through that knowledge comes the revelations, and we must take that in and believe it by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that by offering salvation to each one of us, that gives us eternal life. So when you're thinking about knowledge, knowledge is great, right? But what do we do with this great knowledge? We put it into practice. And we hopefully, eventually, it will become wisdom to us as we learn more about the Word of God. So without knowledge of certain facts, without knowledge of Jesus Christ, a person would not be saved and cannot be saved. So without knowledge, in the Christian way, you cannot progress in your salvation or continue in your spiritual growth without the knowledge and wisdom that God provides in His Word. So the knowledge that makes for salvation comes from believing. As Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by believing in Jesus Christ. Now, the spiritual nature of the salvation here intended is explained by how it is to be accomplished. And it is to be accomplished by the remission of sins. And this remission of sins comes through Jesus Christ. See, it's that personal salvation is experienced when one's sins are forgiven. What a relief. You know, when the Holy Spirit was dealing with you and dealing with me, you know, we're burdened. We know there's something just not right in our heart. But when that happens, when that remission of sin, we believe and we ask God for forgiveness and we repent of our sin, what a relief that brings. A joy, a celebration that your sins have been forgiven. Now, personal salvation is experienced when one's sins is forgiven. So I want to drive that point home, because think about it. Forgiveness means to dismiss as a debt. So we are indebted to Christ. So the wages of sin is a debt. But the gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life. So in verse 78, it gives us a reason that for God's willingness to forgive our sins. And it's because the tender mercy of our God, with which the sun rises from on high, will visit us. So that's verse 78. Now, for those who will receive Christ, receive the remission of sin. God's mercy comes to us like a sunrise on the cloudless day. See, that's what Luke is talking about here. It's like, you know, last few days just been cloudy and dreary, and I know everybody, it changes your mood, your mind, but when you see the clouds and the storms removed, it kind of brightens up your life, doesn't it? And that's what he's talking about. When Jesus Christ, when the remission of sin takes place within your heart and within your mind, it's like a bright, sunny day. It's like no clouds. It means everything is clear in your heart and in your mind. So Son of righteousness was arising with the healing of his wings to shine the glory of God upon mankind. Now in verse 79, it relates the purpose of the dawning of Messiah upon mankind. In verse 79, it says, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And that's what we would be walking towards. After we've been forgiven of our sin, then we recognize that comfort, that joy, the peace that passes all understanding. And that's what these back then were looking for. They was looking for something to give them hope in this world. And this Christmas season, you think about it. All of the people in this world that don't realize they have hope, it's right here, right before them. The presence of God is right before them. It's right before us. And all we have to do is recognize that Jesus came into this world. And that's why we celebrate this season. It's one of the most important seasons of the year besides, you know, Jesus' resurrection. Two most important events that ever have taken place in history. And now this is the beginning of a new birth in Jesus Christ to provide the way, John the Baptist, as he proclaimed Jesus Christ. So, Jesus came to, according to this verse, to guide. That means to straighten the way for all of us, our feet, so that we could walk in the way of peace. So, Jesus, by presence, his truth, his deeds, and his mercy and power would fill his followers with joy and peace. For each one of us, one of the greatest gifts that you and I can give anyone is the gift of Christ, so that they too could walk in peace during this season. Now, we know about peace. It guides us, it directs us, it straightens our feet, so we will walk in the way of peace. Now, peace is shalom in the Old Testament, meaning includes the sum total of all men require of their well-being. If you have peace, you think about it. Have you ever been at that point in your life and that you had complete peace and you knew it and you knew exactly where it come from? I've been there. And I know you have too, where you struggle with different things that's going on within your life and you pray to God and say, Lord, I don't understand this, but help me to understand me. Give me that knowledge. Give me that understanding to how you are working in my life at this point in time. And you know what the future is going to be. But may I have peace right now in the present so that I will be able to understand why I'm going through what I am right now. And the Prince and that peace that Pastor understand just comes over you. And say, yes. I still don't understand it all, but at least I understand what that peace means when God places it on your life. See, we are sent to walk with the Lord, enjoy our relationship with Him, and follow His peace in our heart, which will tell us whether any given direction leads us towards or away from Him. And Jesus, whatever He tells us, whatever He brings to us, and we might understand it, it might be devastating to us at the time, but it is to bring us closer to Him. And really that tells you how you're built, who your faith is, no matter what the circumstances are. And, you know, as I think about the people down in Mayfield and so forth, the devastation and the emotions they're going through, and however many of them are Christians and so forth, may they find that peace right now during this season, knowing that God is with them and He will continue to provide for them and He will see them through. You know, destructions of property and things like that can be replaced, but lives, we know, will not be replaced here on this earth. But the good that comes through devastation such as that may in some way, now, as we pray, that those people, and not only them around the world, through devastation, will find peace this season. May they find Christ this season, so they will know ultimate what peace is. Okay, now, finally, in verse 80, the last verse here, the preparation of the prophet. Now, this summarizes approximately 30 years has taken place right here in this verse from when this prophecy began. 30 years has already taken place. And it says, "And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and lived in the desert until the day of the public appearance to Israel." So there is little mention about John's child life, because where was he? He was in the desert. And so the story of John's birth is completed with a brief note of the upbringing. If you want to read Luke chapter 2, verse 40 and 52, his period in the desert will kind of give you a little light on that. So why did John spend so much time in the desert? Why did Jesus go to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights after he was baptized? Well, at that point in time, he was age 30, and he was preparing for the ministry that God brought him into this world to be revealed. That preparation. John spent all of that time in the wilderness, in the desert, for the preparation to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, so he would not be distracted, so he could be one-on-one with God. God giving him direction, preparing him that he might be steadfast, be strong and courageous in his presenting of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is coming. Now, do you think about that this morning, just for a moment? When are you the strongest in your faith? The strongest when I'm in my faith is when I've spent my time alone with the Lord. It's kind of like a sabbatical. It's a spiritual week. It's a spiritual time. When you're spending time reading God's Word and He is preparing you for something great. He was preparing the world through John for something great, the coming Messiah, which is Jesus Christ. And John used this time wisely in the desert. Probably didn't know all the circumstances were going to be taking place, but he was steadfast, he was strong, he was courageous, just like Joshua in Joshua 1:9. Be strong, be courageous. Don't look left, don't look right, but look straight ahead and go in the way that I'm leading you. That's what God told Joshua. And I'm sure that's what I'm reading here in this scripture this morning, as John spent his time preparing the way for Jesus Christ. So he became strong in spirit, indicating that he was strong, inner energy, steadfast, and courageous. And you and I, too, can be that way in our walk with the Lord, as whatever preparations God is doing in our life for us to be his spokesmen. Okay, finally, in conclusion, John and Jesus came by God's great mercy to prepare and lead God's people into salvation for the forgiveness of their sins. Now, as we close here this morning, I want us to walk in peace with others, with one another, as well as to seek peace with God, our own consciousness. And my final word to you this morning would be, may the Christ of Christmas arise over you with diligence and healing in his wings. The Bible talks about that. And I have my eagle tie this morning. It kind of reminds me of that, you know, Those who wait upon the Lord will mount up, will be strengthened and mount up like wings of eagles. They will run, not be tired. They will walk and not be faint. That is it this morning. When you think about the peace of God that passes all understanding. And next week we'll be looking more into Jesus' birth and the reason that God brought him into this world. To show us what really real peace is. And I thank the Lord each day that he allows me and allows us to be like a John the Baptist, a forerunner for other peoples that don't know about Christ. And maybe they've heard his name. They've heard his name spoken, but they haven't had that personal encounter, that personal relationship with him. What a perfect, perfect season for someone to really know Jesus Christ and keep that in their daily walk with him. Daily. Not just once a year or twice a year, but every day of life as we walk upon this earth. May we pray. Our Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the message that comes from your word. And help us to realize that your word was given for a reason, for a purpose. It gives us that knowledge. The knowledge that we need to know in order that we may come to you with our sins. And through believing in our faith and trusting you, we are relieved. The debt is paid through Christ Jesus. Whatever the reasons, whatever the need is this morning in each one of our lives as we walked in this church, through the busy schedule, the busy week that's just passed behind us, may we put all of our thoughts and our energy into thinking about, Lord, how can we grow more in spirit, in truth, from this day forward. Lord, we can't change anything in the past, but we can make a big difference in the future in our trusting you, in our way that we walk with you, in studying your word. You know, we don't spend any time in the desert, but we can spend time in your word and our devotional time with you, in our quiet time with you, that we make it our purpose to understand the knowledge that you give us through your word. It is for us to receive your revelation, your fulfillment of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this invitation we're going to be singing. And Lord, may we come as you lead us and bring us to this altar this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.